parable like the one we heard this evening about the weeds and the wheat bewilders me when I begin to wonder about just who will get into heaven. In fact, that question, who will get into heaven, prompted Jesus to tell this parable in the first place. Many of Jesus' co-religionists insisted that only Jews could get into heaven. Some rabbis claimed that not even all Jews would get into heaven, but only those who meticulously observed the prescriptions of the Torah, the law that God had designed for Israel. Of course, that should not shock us. There was a time in our own church, not so very long ago, when we professed the very same thing. We insisted that no one outside the Catholic Church could be saved. And then we restricted it even further to those Catholics who ever so carefully adhered to the many, many rules of our church. Nevertheless, Jesus' words in today's parable raise doubts about viewing salvation in such black and white terms. In fact, throughout the Gospels, Jesus consistently reminds us that the only ones fit for the kingdom of heaven are those who imitate Him by loving, serving, and forgiving others. Those three things, loving, serving, forgiving, are the criteria which determine whether we really are friends of Jesus. In today's parable, a farmer plants good wheat in his field, but during the night, an enemy slinks in and maliciously sows weeds alongside the wheat. The gospel even identifies for us that noxious weed. It was cizania. The curious thing about cizania is that it resembles wheat almost to a T. Like wheat, cizania grows up to be a tall grass. It has a stalk and a head full of tiny berries, just like wheat. In fact, the only way to tell the difference between cizania and wheat is to wait until the berries are fully ripe. Toward the end of the growing season, the wheat berries turn from green to golden brown, whereas the cizania berries turn black. And make no mistake about it, cizania is not just a nuisance like the crabgrass and dandelions on your lawn. Cizania berries are poisonous. Eat them and you'll get sick. Eat enough of them and you will die. That's why the servants in today's parable are so anxious to root out all the cizania. They don't want to risk mixing the berries together. Nevertheless, Jesus counsels patience. He knows that if the workers go into the field to root out the cizania, they will inevitably pull up the good wheat as well, because you simply cannot tell them apart as young plants. Only at the very end can you distinguish the good from the bad. So too in life. Only at the end of the day will we be able to identify who are the true friends of Jesus by the way they lived, whether they have tried to spend their life loving, serving, and forgiving others. I give you a parable from my own life. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Philadelphia for a family picnic. I was staying with my sister and her family. We all got up early on Sunday morning to go to Mass, but just as we were about to leave the house, my sister noticed that Megan, her 15-year-old, wasn't there. In fact, Megan was still fast asleep. When my sister went to wake her up again, Megan grumbled that she didn't feel like going to Mass. My sister informed her in no uncertain terms that she was going to Mass, whether she felt like it or not. Needless to say, Megan was not a happy camper. In fact, she pouted all through Mass and refused to join in any of the songs or the prayers. If I had not known her better, I would have wondered whether Megan really is a friend of Jesus. Later in the day, however, when the rest of the family began to arrive for the picnic, I saw a different side of Megan. She was wonderful. She organized the games for the younger cousins, keeping them entertained and making sure that they all got a chance to play. When I commented on that, my sister said that Megan has been doing the same thing all summer long as a volunteer at her high school's day camp for inner city kids. After hearing that, there were no longer any doubts about whether my niece is a friend of Jesus. If I had only seen her in church that morning, I might have drawn the wrong conclusion. Her behavior that afternoon, however, and her day camp activities throughout the summer clearly showed that she is a friend of Jesus. As with the wheat and the zizania, I had to wait until the whole day had run its course to recognize who Megan truly is. Having said that, the question still remains. Is it really necessary to go to Mass every Sunday? Well, I can only answer that by saying that for me, it is. This much I know about myself. I say that I am a friend of Jesus, but I have to recognize that I still find it difficult to love certain people. No one here. Sometimes I don't feel like reaching out to others when they ask for my help. Occasionally, I find it hard to forgive people who have hurt me. In other words, I profess to be a friend of Jesus, but my actions don't always live up to that claim. But when I come to Mass and hear the challenge of God's Word and join in the singing and receive Christ's body and blood, I remember again who I really want to be. I'm reminded that in my best moments, I do want to love and forgive and reach out to others. So for me, it's not really an option. I can only be a better friend of Jesus by coming here week after week with all of you. I suppose that you will have to decide for yourselves whether you want to be a friend of Jesus. And if you do, then you'll also need to figure out what you need to do to help you to love and serve and forgive others a little more consistently.